Good morning and happy Sabbath. How are you today? All right, that was just 20%, would you say, Sister Faith? Can we raise it to maybe 80 or 100? How are you today? Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time, He's a good God. Thank you, Sister Yasmin. Thank you so much for blessing us with that music, musical item today. I want to thank all of those who have participated in the worship service today, who have led out. And I just want to give greetings to all those who are visiting today, those who are joining us online, and to all of our members, welcome.
Amen.
Welcome. A few reminders. I know you've heard it already, but I'm hearing that the count is really moving when it comes to the annual banquet. And some of you have expressed to me that you haven't registered yet because it's, of course, you got to go through the computer and navigate a few items. I want to say, Elder Wilton, he's here to help you, all right? And there's so many folks here in our church who are just willing to help you. It will take, I did it, took me no more than 2 minutes, probably the most. It's very quick, very easy. If you would like to also register for the banquet by using your tithe and offering envelope, you can do that too. If you'd like, you can fill that out. And where you see that blank space on your tithe and offering envelopes, you could just write banquet. Are you with me? Yeah, just write banquet there and put the amount there and turn that in. We'll make sure we record it and register you for the banquet, okay? It's coming up quick. And so if you haven't already, please go ahead and do that. And then, of course, starting on Wednesday, this Wednesday, when?
This Wednesday.
At what time?
7.
Wonderful, wonderful. Pastor Steve Wahlberg and Neville Peter will be here. This is a series that he does all throughout the United States, at least twice a month, and people are being blessed, and so we're coming to be blessed as well, right?
Amen.
There's so many things happening in our world today, and they're directly related to Scripture. And you don't want to miss this time, all right? And so starting on Wednesday, we go Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then twice on Sabbath in the morning and in the afternoon. Okay? All right, all right. With that, I want to invite the deacon who has the... Okay, there you go. Thank you, Brother Brighton. We're going to pass out to you a little sermon guide, just a little guide. And I'm going to ask you when you get it, don't open it yet. Is that all right? Don't open it yet. All right. Sister Grace, don't open it yet, okay? All right. Got a little surprise in there for you. All right. So while those are going around, it's truly a privilege to be studying, especially this topic at this time. And we have looked at Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7. We're going to take a look at Daniel chapter 8 today. Daniel chapter 8. We're looking at the topic, the Antichrist and the church. And so what I did was to just put a bit of my sermon information in a little guide, so when you go home, or you can use it even during the sermon as we study together. All right? With that, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads with me, and let's pray together. All right? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, here we are this Sabbath, as it is our custom to be in your temple. Father, you have heard the singing which declares how much we appreciate and love you. Father, I know you have heard the prayers that went up through Elder Small and through everyone within this sanctuary and those listening online who were crying out to you, who were sharing with you from the depths of their own hearts. We know you have heard all of it. Father, here in the sanctuary are people, including myself, who have needs. We all come to worship, but we also come to connect with you in such a way to receive something from you as well. Because, Father, we are completely dependent upon you, because you are our God, the Almighty King of Heaven. And we know that as your children, you are so much ready to pour out upon us blessings, healings, building back bridges in relationships that have gone wrong. You're so much ready, Father, to do for us things that we can't do for ourselves. And so we ask that as you have heard our prayers, that you would meet the needs of your people. I pray as we open your word today that you would take full control of the speaker. Father, I give you full access to all my mental faculties. All that I am, Father, I willingly place them into your care. Because I need to hear from you as well. And I ask, Lord, that as you speak through me, that your people would be blessed, would be edified, would be encouraged, but will also be changed by your word. So teach us, lead us, and guide us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Let the church of the living God say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus, in John chapter 3, made a statement. John chapter 13, he said, I tell you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. You follow? Then he also said in John 14, verse 29, and now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. These are powerful words from Jesus, right? In fact, there are times when I'm speaking to my own children, I would have an insight of what can happen if they do certain things, right? And you know what? I'll tell them that if you do this, this will happen. But you know what? And I remember when I was small like them, guess what? I had the best brain ever. Are you with me? And so I would just relax sometimes with my sons And just wait. And sure enough, Dad, you were right. You were right. Same thing with Jesus. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's saying, listen, I am telling you these things so when you see them happen, you'll know that I am for real. That everything in the Bible that talked about me, it is true. Are you following? And so now he said to all of his children, he said, listen, I would like you to read the book of Daniel for yourselves and seek to understand it. Not just read it like you're reading a bedtime story. Actually study it. I mean, I would say, listen, church folk can't tell me nothing about studying the Bible. You know why? Because I know that they studied at some point in school. And they know how to read and really search things out in order to understand them. But I know what's going on. Many folks will place much influence in the things of the world and less upon the things of God. And God is saying, listen, this is far more valuable than any maths exam that you have before you. And so one of the things I've done, because I know the book of Daniel is not an easy task to take up and try to understand. I know that. So one of the things I've done throughout my preparation when it comes to the book of Daniel is to always just take the text. Are you with me? Sister Vivian, you won't find me running to any form of commentaries. The first thing I would do is just take the text and look at it, read it, and see what it's saying. And so now, here's what I'd like you to do, Sister Dawn. Y'all have your study guides? Are you ready? I want you to open it. You got it opened? Wonderful. And this is how I study. Some people have different ways of studying materials. This is how I do it. I like to read it and to see the trend of what's happening with the chapter. And the moment I did that, what I see is the chapter is divided into two parts. The book of the chapter 8 of Daniel has 27 verses, but if you want, you could just cut it at verse 14. Because the first 14 verses simply tell you the vision that Daniel received. Are you with me? The last 14 then tells you the interpretation of the vision. I don't need to go find interpretations for myself. You know what I do? I find the interpretation from what the Bible says. Are you following? And you're going to find that in this particular chapter of the book of Daniel, God begins to reveal some things that he never did before. In fact, he starts to come out, actually give names to kingdoms that he never gave before, Sister Small. Now he's actually telling us exactly what he's talking about. So now let's go together. And we're going to start with verse 1. Are you with me? Verse what? You got the study guide. So let's go together. Let's start together. Verse 1 of Daniel chapter what? 8. What did Daniel have in the vision? No, let me see. Yeah. When did Daniel have the vision of Daniel chapter 8? What does the Bible says? In the third year of the reign of King who? Who is this king? You remember him? Can we go to him? In the first year of the king, Belshazzar. Who is this king? When did we first heard of him? Chapter 5. Chapter 5, that's so important. Remember last week when we look at Daniel chapter 7? We also saw where it began with this king. You know what God is trying to tell us? What you're going to come across in Daniel chapter 8? You're going to find an organization doing the very same thing like this king. And I want you to know about it. What did this king did? In Daniel chapter 5, he took the sacred vessels from out the temple of God. Can you imagine that? And he brought them into a grand feast that he was holding right there in his kingdom. And he took alcohol and poured them into these vessels and had a party with the sacred things of God. Are you with me? In other words, he was desecrating God's sanctuary. This king was. And God didn't like that. Can I say that again? God did not what? He did not. In fact, the story ended by saying, God took his life that very night. Are you with me? So whatever he did really touched the heart of God. And God executed judgment upon this king. That's in Daniel chapter 5. Now we come to Daniel chapter 8. And we are dealing with the same king. Are you following? All right. What kind of animal did Daniel see in the vision that conquered in every direction? In other words, so Daniel is having a vision during the third year of this king. In fact, it's 2 years after Daniel chapter 7. Because remember, Daniel chapter 7 was the first year of this king. Now we're in the third year of the king. Are you with me? So 2 years has passed. And now Daniel received this vision. Let's go to the next slide right there. So what kind of animal did Daniel see in the vision that occurred in every direction? In this vision, he saw an animal. What kind of animal? He saw a ram which had what?
Two horns.
You remember, huh? One higher than the other. He saw a ram with two horns. And this ram conquered greatly, right? This ram, the Bible, when the Bible is speaking of this ram, it gave some characteristics of this ram, and it said it had two horns, one higher than the other. It pushed westward, southward, northward, and became very great. Do you see where I have very great right there? Just remember that. This ram, wherever it is, went to the west and conquered. It also went southward, conquered, northwards, conquered. So in other words, where was this ram coming from? Coming from the east. Are you with me? Came from the east and conquered and became great. And then in the vision, he saw another animal. He then saw a he-goat. And this he-goat came from the west. It did not touch the ground. What is that saying? Oh, nice. It's moving very fast. In other words, whoever this he-goat is, this is a bad brother. He's conquering real fast, and it had a notable horn and eyes like a man. It smote the ram and broke its two horns. Are you following? So this he-goat came and smashed the ram. You know, goats are very dangerous creatures, you know. Have you ever been bucked by a goat? Anyone? I see people saying no, right? I tell you what, they like to buck. And there's a lot of things I can tell you about goats. But this goat waxed very great. Now, would you say this goat is far more or in some way superior than the ram before it? You could tell because the ram waxed great, but the he-goat waxed very great. Are you following? His great horn that he had was broken, and four notable ones came up. So this great horn that this ram had was broken. He-goat was broken, and in place of that horn, four ones came up. And then, very crucial, they came up towards the four winds of heaven. Are you with me? This is a Bible. I just copied it, put it right there. Big horn got broken. Four came up towards the four winds of heaven. What are the four winds of heaven in the Bible? The compass points, right? North, south, east, and? So in other words, this kingdom is going to lose some power and then be divided into four. Are you following? God is sharing this about 200 years before it all happened. And he's sharing this to Daniel, that this he-goat will rule, but lose its ruler, and then be divided towards the four winds of heaven. You see those words towards the four winds of heaven? Those words have caused some major problems in understanding this text. I believe if we are able to look carefully what this is saying, we will go a long way in our understanding, Sister Alicia, of this text. Because look at the next thing that Daniel saw. The next thing he saw after this he-goat smashed this ram, he saw a little horn. A little what? He saw a little horn. But this little horn came out of one of them. So in other words, the question is, out of one of what? What is the them? Where did this little horn came from? Did it came from one of the horns in Greece? You remember the four divisions of Greece? Did it came from one of the four divisions in Greece? Or did it come from one of the directions that Greece was spreading? Are you following? It's either one of them. It's either it came out of Greece or it came out of one of the directions that Greece was pushing. And the fact is this, most of the people we hear on our TVs today preaching that the Antichrist was a part of the Grecian kingdom and is not a part of Rome, they come from the point that this little horn came up out of the Grecian Empire. So it is not a Roman power. It came up out of one of them, being the Grecian Empire. Are you following? But my Bible said the last thing that my Bible mentioned before it mentions the little horn, the last thing it says is towards the four winds of what? Heaven. And out of one of them means out of one of those directions came the little horn. And when you look at it, the little horn is what? A Roman power, isn't it? Come on, y'all. It's a Roman power. And Rome is to the west of Greece. So the little horn came from the west and conquered Greece. The little horn was not a Grecian power. It did not come out of any Greece. But I know why people will say it come from Greece, because, and we're going to learn today, because there is a king who came up out of the Grecian Empire, whose name you probably never heard before, Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a Syrian king, and he was one of the four kingdoms of Greece. He was a king for one of those kingdoms. And yes, he did some bad things to the Jewish people. In fact, historians tell us that he actually brought a pig into the temple and sacrificed a pig upon the altar. I mean, the worst thing you could do to the Jews is to do something like that. Are you with me? But yes, this king did all of that and much more, but still, he's a Grecian king. Are you following? And nobody really knows about him. Come on, y'all. But the Bible, when the Bible speaks of the little horn, it's not Grecian, it's Roman. And so the Roman power came from the west. It came from one of the directions that the Grecian Empire was spreading. And it conquered Greece. But we're going to see some more about that in a little bit. But then let's continue the study here. This little horn waxed exceedingly what? Come on, y'all. So whoever this little horn is, it's more powerful than the Grecian power. Are you with me? Because the Grecian power only waxed great. Antiochus Epiphanes was nowhere more powerful than Alexander the Great. Are you with me? He was nowhere more powerful than the Medo-Persian Empire. So therefore, it can't be him. Because whoever this little horn power is, must have influence that surpasses Medo-Persia and also Greece. Because it waxed what? Exceedingly great. But we keep going. And it spread towards the south, towards the east, and towards the pleasant land, speaking of Jerusalem. That's how this little horn power spread, which is exactly the growth pattern of this little horn. But this little horn did something else. And that's why it's so important to us. It was not just an earthly conquering power. Watch. It even tried to spread its influence heavenly. Are you with me? So it's not just a horizontal power. It's also a vertical power. It's not only political. It's also religious. So it's different from the other powers before it. I hope you're following the text. Cast down some of the hosts and stars and trampled upon them. He magnified himself even to the prince of who? Prince of the host. Who is the prince of the host? Jesus himself. Took away the daily. I said daily there because when you read the scriptures, it does say daily sacrifice, but it's more than sacrifice. Sacrifice is not even in the Hebrew manuscripts. So really, it should just say it took away the daily. Because when you say daily, then you start to think of the entire operation of the earthly sanctuary given to God's people. Meaning you not only get forgiveness through the earthly sanctuary, are you with me? But you also, when you go inside the temple, you also get power from God to change, which is called sanctification. Are you following? So now Jesus is not only ministering for us The ministry of forgiveness is ministering to us too, the ministry of power daily. He's forgiving us, but he's also helping us to change. Are you with me? The little horn is trying to take that away. He's trying to take away the daily. And then a host was given to him. The only way the little horn could reach this far in world history is because it got help. Military help. You following? Military help. It cast the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Everything it did, no matter how evil it was, it prospered. The good and the bad, it still prospered. That speaks to me loudly. Very loud. And so let's finish up now. And so finally, in the vision, after he sees this little horn, Daniel then saw or heard about the cleansing of the sanctuary. The Bible said in verse Daniel chapter 8, let's go there. I want us to read this text, Daniel chapter 8. I want you to read for yourselves here. And I want to read verse 14. Daniel chapter 8 and verse what? 14. All right. Bible says, and he said to me, for unto 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be what? Cleanse. Shall be cleansed. So look at the flow of the vision. Ram, goat, little horn, judgment. You see the pattern? And then Daniel could not stomach what he was hearing and seeing. Daniel, in verse 15, let's read the interaction he's having now with the angel who is speaking with him. In verse 15, then it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning, that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel. I wonder whose voice was that as I read it. I wonder when I read it, I was like, who is this man speaking to Gabriel? Giving him orders and telling him what to tell Daniel. The only person that came to my mind was none other than Jesus. You know, you see Jesus all the way through the book of Daniel. He's always there with his people, working very intimately with him. And I tell you what, that's how he works with us today. When you give your heart to Jesus, I tell you what, nobody can pluck you out of his hand. He's going to be there in the good times. He's going to be there in the bad times. Jesus only don't want people to take him for granted. And so many do. Thinking that they can do anything they want to do and then come to him and say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus desires a change. And he's trying to say to everyone, including myself, that I am with you from beginning to end. And I want you to stick with me. I will bless you with my grace. I will help you if you're willing and ready to even change. I tell you what, I can testify. When I came to Jesus, I was still struggling with some things. But I was completely depending on him for help. Are you with me? There are times I came to church and I would sit, and all I could do sitting there in the pews is to say, Father, I'm here. I'm asking for you to forgive me. Nobody knows what I've been through but myself. Lord, forgive me. I watched throughout my Christian journey how Jesus took those weaknesses. Are you with me? And I can tell you today, they are not a bother, hallelujah, because of him. He has moved me to a place where the things I used to struggle with aren't the things that I'm struggling with now. Amen. Only because of what he did. Amen. And I'm telling you, God can do the same thing for any person here today. No matter how weak you think you might be, with Jesus, you have all the strength you need. And if Jesus can change me and help me, I tell you what, he can do the same thing for you as well. I wish Judas had come to that realization. Isn't that true, Sister Dawn? I wish he would have seen that the same person who was washing his feet that very day was willing to forgive him of what he had done. Peter received that forgiveness. And did Peter desert Jesus? Yes, he did. Well, thank God for the example of Peter. He came back to Christ. Now let's move to the interpretation. What you just read there is simply the vision. Now, who is going to interpret the vision? God himself, right? And let's read the interpretation. The interpretation came and said, through Christ, through Gabriel, in verse 20, the ram with the two horns that you saw, Daniel, in your vision, that ram is the what? Kingdom of the Medes and? Do I have to go to a book, an atlas to go figure that out? Or can I just take what Jesus said? Can we just take what he said? I don't need a scholar to tell me what the Bible is saying. I just read it for myself. And the Bible says, Daniel, the ram you saw, that is me, the Persian. In fact, the goat you saw, that is the king of Greece. Can you imagine? He's actually naming these empires. He's saying the e-goat that you saw is the king of Greece. And you know, we know who was the first king of the Grecian Empire. We know who it is. Alexander the Great. Hallelujah. In fact, that's the only king of Greece that I know. I don't even know about the four kings of the divided Grecian Empire. I only know about this king, Alexander the Great. But he said that horn was going to be broken. And of course, Alexander died at a very young age. And when he died, the kingdom of Greece was divided into four kingdoms, just like Jesus said it would. Come on, y'all. I know we're living in this time of world history where, can you imagine, we have the raw evidence that Jesus is the author of this book. He prophesied that this will happen to Greece, and it did. And remember, Jesus is the one who told us to read this book. And so, if I say, and I know there are many who might disagree with me right now, and that's okay. That when it comes to this next king, and who this next king is, I am simply going to take the Bible, as you have seen what I've done here with the interpretation, and just line them up together. First, ram, goat, what's the third power? What's the third power that Daniel 8 mentions? The little horn. The little horn is this king of fierce countenance. That's Bible. That's not Pastor Harris. That was a dream he saw. And after the king of Greece, the next power he mentioned in the vision was the little horn. So the little horn must be this fierce king. Sister Faith, it must be. And this little horn, some of the things it's interpreting here for us, it says it understands what? Dark sentences. Understanding dark sentences shall what? Stand up. A power shall be, that shall be very mighty. He shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice. I keep hearing this. Even though he's destroying and doing very bad things, he will still prosper. You notice that? And do wonderful things as he goes through human history. Shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper. He shall magnify himself in his heart. By peace shall destroy many. Some version of the Bible says he will destroy many with prosperity. We're going to talk about that for a little. I'm just going through the vision with you. He shall stand up against the prince of princes and shall be broken without hand. In other words, he's going to come to a supernatural end. And then right after he saw this king of fierce countenance in the interpretation, the next thing he saw was what? In verse 26, and the vision of the evening and mornings, which was told is what? True. And then he was told to shut up the vision. It shall be many days. This vision of the evening and mornings is a vision of the daily. Evening and morning gives you what? A day. So judgment comes right after the little horn. And when Daniel heard the interpretation of 2,300 days, when he heard about the vision of the evening and morning, Daniel fainted. After a while, the Bible said, he got back up, went back to work. And he remained astonished by the vision. Nobody could understand it. That's all Daniel chapter 8 says. Now I want you to turn to the back of your guide. When you read Daniel chapter 8, you'll see it's a vision that's similar to Daniel chapter 2, 7. Daniel chapter 2 and 7. And the reason why I want to call your attention to that, you see at the bottom of your guide right here, at the bottom, you see a little chart. I want to just call your attention to that just for a little. Because in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, you see they're very similar. Both visions start with Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. Then you have divided Rome. Do y'all see that? And then after divided Rome, what did Daniel see? You see a judgment scene after divided Rome. In fact, after the little horn was ruling for a certain period of time, then you see Daniel viewing a judgment scene. After the judgment scene, the kingdom was returned to the saints. When you go to Daniel chapter 8 in that same vision, in that same chart, you see a similar thing. The only thing is the vision didn't start with Babylon. Are you following? This vision started with who? Daniel chapter 8. Which vision did it start with? Which kingdom? Medo-Persia, right? Remember, we didn't figure this out. He actually called the name Medo-Persia in the Bible. Let's keep on that chart. Let's back up to that. Yes. You see the ram, the goat, and then the little horn. Right after the little horn, then what? Judgment. And then this little horn was executed just like how the feet mixed with iron and clay, just like how he was executed in Daniel chapter 7, supernaturally. In Daniel chapter 2, the feet was smashed by a stone that was cut out without hands. Are you with me? And here we read, he had a supernatural death. Look at the little horn and Daniel chapter 8 for me. The next slide, little horn and Daniel chapter 8. I want to go through this with you. You're going to see it's the same little horn that's mentioned. In fact, in chapter 7, it's called a little horn. In chapter 8, it's also called a what? Come on, y'all. Why would God is trying to communicate something? And many people are trying to say that this little horn is a completely different entity than chapter 7. But if I just look at some of the things that both of the horns do, I can clearly see that both horns are the same entity. It's small, it grew large, but it waxed great. It actually waxed what? Exceedingly great. It came up after Greece and out of one of the four winds where Greece was spreading. It came up after Greece. It's not a power within Greece. In chapter 7 and 8, it came up after. It's a religious and political power. Mighty, magnified himself even to the prince of hosts. So in other words, this power is not, as I said before, it's not a horizontal or worldly power only. It's also a spiritual power. In Daniel chapter 7, it wear out the saints of the Most High. In Daniel chapter 8, it destroys the holy people. It thinks to change God's times and laws in Daniel chapter 7. But in Daniel chapter 8, it casts down the what? Truth to the ground. It's a blasphemous power in Daniel chapter 7. It magnified himself in his heart. Spoke great words against the Most High in Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 8, he shall stand up against the prince of princes. It's an end time power. Antiochus Epiphanes is dead and gone. All these prophecies, 2, 7, and 8, are saying that this power is an end time power. It's a power we should see today acting in our world. In Daniel chapter 8, it refers to this power working through to the time of the end. Judgment is cast on this little horn from heaven in chapter 7. And the sanctuary was cleansed in chapter 8. Another phrase for the cleansing of the sanctuary is the day of judgment. It's a day of judgment. So judgment happens after this little horn, and in both chapters, this little horn power was destroyed in a supernatural way. So when I look at all these characteristics of the little horn power, there's no other power upon planet Earth that matches all these identification marks. And let me just say, this is not a power, I should say. This is not words from Jesus directed to the people who are within this power. It's directed to the leadership of this organization. The only power that fits these characteristics on the face of planet Earth today is the Roman papacy. No other power comes close. No other power came up after the Grecian Empire, after the division of the Roman Empire, like the Roman power, and ruled for a certain time that we looked at last Sabbath, for 1260 years. No other power persecuted God's people like this power did. And no other power has today showed how it's trying to take the actual place of Christ on earth right now. The only power that's doing all of this today is the Roman papacy. Antiochus Epiphanes died way before Jesus even came to planet Earth and wasn't greater than the kings before himself. Died a natural death. But I can see why the Roman power will try to use him as a way of sidetracking people from being the little horn themselves. Look at him. Don't look at us. This Roman power is the only power that casts down the sanctuary. In other words, claimed the very prerogatives of Christ upon himself. Within the sanctuary, God will forgive people. This Roman power is now saying, I can forgive you. Are you with me? This Roman power takes the actual words of God's word and casts them down to the ground, as the scripture says, trampling upon the Bible. Takes God's fourth commandment, which is actually a blessing to God's people, and changed it, and tell the world that they did. Tell the world that, hey, we made the change. I mean, I believe when I think of what's going on planet Earth today, how people are becoming more and more secular in how they operate through their daily lives, and so much more independent from each other, even in the church. I believe we arrive at this state simply because that is the goal and function of this little horn power. To make sure we bathe in the independence of prosperity, not knowing that, hey, listen, everything we get in this life come from one source, if we get it, and that's who? It comes from God. But when people feel as if, hey, listen, all of this I got on my own, that they would never bless God with what they get. They will pour it upon themselves. And you'll find when people live life like this, they don't receive the blessings they could have received. I tell people all the time, anytime you dedicate your life and your money to the Lord, he shows you every single paycheck that he's got. Whenever you gain an income from whatever source and you put aside God's 10% and God's offering Some people only give offering. I keep wondering which Bible they're reading. I really do. Some don't even give anything. But let's say some only give offering, only give a tithe. That money does not come to this local church. Are you with me? No. Well, let me say. Whenever you give an offering, on that line item that says church local budget, all of that comes here. Whenever you give a tithe, it helped to bless me and all the pastors within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Are you with me? That's what the tithe does. But the local church offering keeps the lights on. You see the lights? Yeah, it keeps those on. Keeps the water on. You know? In fact, as a church, this church is such a blessing to its members. That's where that funds come from. Everything you give. Are you with me? So don't think that God is going to bless you the way he wants to bless you if you want to give your tithe and walk away from him, walk away from his church here locally. It's time I tell people, get serious, y'all. It's about time we get serious with God. It's either you're in or you're not. But just be serious. Remember, God is watching. And he wants to, as the Bible says, he wants to pour out the what? We would never have room enough to receive it when he starts. He wants you to trust him. And if you and me, if we can trust God with our money, oh wow. Our relationship will be tighter than ever. This little horn power is doing all kind of mischief with the sanctuary. All kind of mischief. He exalts himself above the Most High. He takes away the daily sacrifice by performing them himself. Cast down the sanctuary and cast the truth down to the ground. The Roman papacy is doing all of this plus more and prospering right before our eyes. Prospering to the point where, was it 2015 when the Pope came here to the United States of America? He was able to stand during the joint session of Congress and spoke to the entire nation and the world. The atrocities committed by this papal power upon young people all across the world is just remarkable. I mean, if the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church did anything close to what they're doing today, you would find that the world would turn against these groups. But they can have 200,000 court cases in Spain against them for exploiting the innocence of young people, and the world is moving forward. The Bible said with all of the atrocities it's doing, it's going to prosper, and we can see it today. When the world, when all these preachers are turning our eyes away from this power, God is saying, I want you to turn your eyes to it. Are you with me? I want you to know what's happening, because as he said, when you see these things happening, you will know that I am he. You know, the story is told of a sculptor who did his work and carved out a huge piece of marble into a nice figure. But over time, guess what happened? That piece that he made got degraded. Got degraded so bad that in 1505, a young sculptor by the name of Michelangelo was asked if he thought anything could be done with this giant figure. He measured the block and carefully noted the imperfections caused by all the years of just standing there. To his mind came, this is Michelangelo, as he looked upon this rock that was degraded, in his mind came a picture of David. King David. Can you imagine? And the story went on to say, Michelangelo took this piece of rock and began shaping this rock into an image of David. When he was done, one of his students who was working with him was allowed to view this finished figure. 18 feet high, 9 tons. Can you imagine that? 9 tons of rock standing before him. The only thing the student could say is, Master, there's one thing that this figure lacks. It needs some speech. It is way too beautiful. Way too beautiful. The truth is this. What God is after is this one fact that we can all depend upon him. He's the only one on planet Earth that can change this messed up, ugly figure of ours. Are you with me? And every single day, he's blessing us with the forgiveness that comes from him, nobody else. Are you with me? And every single day, what God is doing is chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, forming something beautiful of himself. That's why, as Christians, when we stick close to God, we see evidence of growth. Are you with me? Evidence of growth. And that growth experience, God is saying, is his artwork. Nobody else. I don't know where you are, friends, but I know for me that I need Jesus every single day. Are you with me? And if you are here today, first of all, and you haven't accepted Jesus as your own personal Savior from sin, this is the time to make a connection with God. The question is, are you going to try to mix the world with God that brought down Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar? God is saying, listen, I want you. I am ready to pour my life into yours if you'd only give me a chance. You know, next Sabbath, we are going to witness another blessing of baptism. Amen? Amen. We have two people who have decided to say, I want to begin this relationship with Jesus. And I wonder if there's somebody out there who would like to say the same. Jesus said, if you believe and are baptized, you shall be saved. Baptism is very important if you believe. I would like to help you on that journey. And if you're here today as well, and you see within your life that you need more of Jesus. You see in your life where, you know what? I might have slipped up, made some mistakes, but today is a day when I can just come to my Savior and receive His blessings of forgiveness and a new start with Him. I don't know where you are, friends, but I see myself in that place where I'm standing, but I'm going to invite you to stand with me if you see yourself there as well. Where you need more of Jesus in your life right now. So you can live a life different from day to day. It's also a time as we stand, it's also a baptismal call. As I said, reach out to me, please, if you'd like to begin studying and prepare for the next baptism. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, there's a reason why you told your people to read the book of Daniel. Simply because you saw where there are things within this book that are very pertinent to our life journey here on planet Earth. There are things here, Father, that you wanted us not to take for granted. And sure enough, we can see all that the evil one is scheming and planning and doing. But we also see what Jesus is doing for His people. We can see clearly He's ministering in the heavenly sanctuary on our behalf each and every day. We can see clearly that He has a plan to put this little horn into judgment. And we can see clearly He has a plan of coming back and bringing His people home. And so, Father, there are people here today who know that they need to give their hearts to Jesus. They have not yet been baptized, and you have been working on their hearts. You have been sharing how important this is to you. And I ask, Father, that you continue to work on them and bring them to a place where they'll be willing to surrender all to you and to follow you. I'm standing here along with your people, knowing full well that you are everything to us. We need you daily. And we're simply asking, Father, that you would bless each person here with your forgiveness. Father, that today would be a defining day in their experience, where they will choose to walk with you more closer than ever before. Where they will have the understanding, Father, that you're not just interested in forgiving them, but you're so much more interested in helping them. Father, in their homes, with their spouse, with their parents, on the job, with their co-workers. Father, in church, with their fellow church members. I pray that you help us all to walk from this place knowing that we're going forward with the presence of Jesus. Thank you for hearing our prayers today. Thank you for the word. Bless us now and go with us now and forevermore in Jesus' name. Let the church of the living God say, amen and amen.